Acts chapter 2. I love the church. Amen. Amen. Who were we talking to yesterday? Who was I talking to? Was that Aaron? We were talking about I go to church in the woods?
Yeah.
Yep. Amen. It's a favorite thing for people to say around here. But they don't. They don't. You're not going to church in the woods. All right. Remember what my dad used to say, Aaron, when people would say that to him? You know what he said, right? What did he say when they said, I go to church in the woods? He'd say, where do you tithe? Classic John Avman. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Christ loved the church, the Bible says. Amen? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And if the church is important to Christ, it should be important to us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Acts chapter 2, and I want to just give you a couple things this morning, because this is what we're going to do. We've been going through the church constitution, kind of going over what we believe, how the church operates, how it should operate, and we've never done formal church membership here. We need to for a variety of reasons, which I've mentioned. And I believe that the scripture teaches some type of church membership. I don't think that it's, I don't believe every church has to do it the same, but just there is a joining and there is a commitment. Hey, this is my church. This is the place that God is I'm going to allow God to use to help my family grow and where I can serve him and where to be committed to. Because commitment is an important thing.
Amen.
Amen. And we commit, hey, listen, we commit to marriage, don't we? Amen. And we commit to the Lord, or we should.
Yes.
Amen. We ought to commit to the church. And God instituted the church, and people whine about the church. People like to complain about the church. People say, I'm not going to go to that church anymore because I don't like that person at the church. Okay? Well, I don't like, you know, you're not going to like everybody at any church. Amen. Amen. If you find the perfect church, don't go there. You'll ruin it, like has been said a million times. Amen. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, God gives us the church so we can learn how to practice our Christianity.
Yes.
Amen. Be ye kind one to another. Amen. Minister one to another. Love one another. You know how many verses are in the New Testament you can't obey if you're not part of a church? Right? This is where you practice all of those one another verses. And so it's important. And Acts chapter 2, and I just want to look at a few characteristics of the church. So what we're going to do, we're going to go over a few things real quick, and then we're going to dismiss. And then those of you that you know, you've been listening and you've been praying about it, and hopefully those of you that have been around a while that are already de facto members, right? Anyway, anybody that wants to join, that you've gone through the Constitution with us, after we dismiss, we're going to take about 5-minute break or whatever, even two. And then we're going to meet back in here, okay? And we're going to vote ourselves in as members of the church. It's not going to be a long meeting. We're going to vote ourselves in. We're not voting anybody else out. Wait, hang on, let me look. Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're going to vote ourselves in. And then you'll all be charter members, you know, and you can, you know, feel like you can, and you can't put your name on your seat. Sorry. First of all, because we don't plan on being here forever. Second of all, just don't do it. Don't put your name on your seat. It's already there anyways. Some of us, never mind. I'm not going to, I mean, look, that's going to take 10 minutes to talk about different hiney prints in chairs. Amen. I mean, you look through those old pews, that church that I was baptized in North Dakota. It was an old Lutheran church. It's on the National Register of Historic Places. It's got those old oak pews in there. And there's literally prints where people sat for years, right? And you can see where a guy's knife scraped. You can see where a guy's chew can kind of wore a little hole in the pew, that kind of stuff. But anyways, hey, make it your church. Amen?
Amen.
Now look at Acts chapter 2. And look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were, what's the next word? together, amen, and had all things common. Now, we understand in the book of Acts, right, they didn't have Pauline doctrine yet, and so there was kind of this communal thing where they all shared what they had, right? They were still going by the Gospels. We understand that, but I just want you to get some edification from this passage here. It says in verse 45, "And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, every man as every man had need, and they continuing daily with one accord." See that word one accord? They're together, and I've preached on that before. "In the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." I like that house to house. Amen? You ought to hang out together. Amen. You ought to hang out outside of church.
Amen.
Amen. Don't just see each other at church. You know, everybody can behave for an hour, right? Go over to someone's house. You'll really get to know them.
Yes.
Amen. But you need to do that. You need to do that. You need to fight that urge to withdraw. You do. You need to fight that urge to pull away from people, right? That's why God gave us the church, just like he gave us the home. Pastor Blue used to say about the home, God gave us the home so we can learn how to die to self. And it's the same for the church. We can learn to put other people's needs and other people's necessities ahead of our own. We can look out for the emotional and spiritual welfare of our brothers and sisters. Amen? House to house, you ought to hang out outside of church. Get together. Get together. Now look what he says. "From house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You know, this is a healthy church. And you know what a healthy church is? It's a growing church. It's a growing church. When something's healthy, it grows. When you go out there in your garden and you're about ready to put those maters in, you know, about around June 1st, unless you got some sort of setup where you can put them in earlier. But if you go out there a month after you put them in, they're not growing at all. You're wondering what's going on. Right, and you're looking, and you're watching those things because they gotta set on tomatoes by August 1st in this country, right? And you want them to be setting on fruit, but if they're not growing, you wonder. And you ought to grow personally. You ought to grow in your home, and the church ought to grow. The Lord added to the church, and when a church is healthy, it'll grow. It'll grow, and you know it's easy, especially in this area, especially in our clannish. You know, I hate people. Northwest Montana attitude, right? We like our little club. We like our two little friends. We like our us four and no more, right? Anytime a visitor comes in, you're like, hi, are they going to get more attention than me? Hi, nice to have you. You know, we have to fight that. We have to fight that attitude, right? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what the Lord wants. Hallelujah. And look at what it says here in Acts chapter 4. And I want to just show you a few things here. Acts chapter, did I say 4?
Yes.
Don't go there. I'm not going to go there. I mean, you can go, but. Okay, Acts chapter 4. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for everyone in here and their love for you. We do need you today. We need you to enlighten us. We need to understand. We need to be given a heart for you and for your church. And we know you can do that. We've all drank of the same Spirit here. We all have the Holy Spirit if we're born again. And so I pray that Spirit would prevail this morning. May each and every one of us be submitted to it. I want to thank you for what you've enabled this church to do thus far. I'll thank you for the souls that have been saved here. We thank you for the young men that are about to get baptized. We thank you for the trip we were able to take to Mexico. And Father, we thank you for the missionaries we've been able to support. And Father, we thank you for our teachers working with our children. We thank you. There's a lot that's done here for your glory, and we want it to continue. But we need you. And we want to be right by you. We want to have the right attitude towards you and towards your church. Oh, help, Father. Enlighten us, enable us, build us up and encourage us in your word this morning. We ask this in the name of our precious Lord Jesus. Amen. He says a few things here. He says, and they continued daily in the apostles. What is that? What's that word there? Doctrine. You know what the church is necessary for? It's necessary for discipleship. You know, Peter told the elders to feed the church of God, to feed the church of God. What do you feed them with? The word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The church is necessary for doctrine. You ought to go to a place where you can learn the Bible. You ought to go to a place where you can grow in your faith. You ought to go to a place where the scriptures are open to you. And not just for entertainment, not just because your friends are there, not just because you like a certain program. The main job of a preacher is to minister the word of God. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine, and the church exists for discipleship. But not only that, look what he says here in verse 42. He says the apostles' doctrine, and what's the next word? Fellowship. The church also exists for fellowship. You ought to get together. One man said we grow deeper through discipleship, but we grow warmer through fellowship. We grow warmer through fellowship. You know what that book says? It says iron sharpeneth iron. You say, why do I need to get together with other believers? Because iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth his friend by hearty counsel. Amen? Hey, the Bible says it's good to have two. It's good to have three. Why? If someone falls in the ditch, someone else can help them up. And we need that. We need fellowship. We need to be around each other. And people, you get isolated and you start thinking weird things. You start imagining things. And we put checks and balances on each other, right? And we're accountable to each other. And fellowship is very important. I want you to see something else. Look what he says here. He says, verse 42, doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. And what's he say? And prayers. You know what else you need in the church? You need worship. You need worship. You don't just need to connect with others. You need to connect with God.
Amen.
You need to connect with God. Fellowship is you and I. And we're fellowshipping around something important. But when we pray and when we sing, you know who we're mostly doing that for?
Yes.
We're doing it for the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, the Bible says, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Prayer connects us to God, and prayer reminds us that there's someone with us and there's someone looking down on us. And prayer gives us an attitude of accountability. Prayer gives us an awareness and an attitude that God is here right now and that God is close. And it's important to pray in church. I was reading some guy and he's like, don't pray. Don't really pray that much in church. Lost visitors don't like it. Well, the unchurched are uncomfortable with praying in church. Keep it to a minimum. Okay. I can tell you a lot of other things you're going to be uncomfortable with if you're not saved. All right. If that's the only thing that makes you uncomfortable in a Bible-believing church, I got to tell you, we're doing pretty well. Because stick around. If you don't love Jesus Christ and you don't love His Word, there's plenty of things in this book that'll make you a lot more uncomfortable than why does He have to pray for so long? Amen. And prayer, it asks God to be a part of something that if He's not a part of it, what are we even doing here? Right? And so we grow stronger through that. There's just something about praying together. There's something about singing together. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
David said over and over, I will glory in the Lord. I will rejoice. That's where we get the word joy. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. It does us good. It is healthy for us to express our love for God and our praise to God through prayer and through singing. You're doing it for Him. Well, singing is just not really my thing. That's kind of for the women to do. Not in this church, it ain't. It's for everybody to do.
Amen.
All right? We don't do that thing. We don't do that thing, you know. It's like, you're a dude, you know. You're a dude. You got some testosterone. And, you know, people start getting into their, you know, stuff. And the dude over there, any guy that's got any manhood at all is like, okay, I'm just going to stick my hands in my pocket for this one. You go ahead and worship, sweetheart. You know what I'm saying? But you know what a man does? A man sings. A man sings. David sang. Right? You're not a tough guy because you don't like to sing. You're proud. That's what you are. You're welcome. That's exactly what it is. A real man sings. God Himself sings. Jesus Christ sang in Him. David sang. You think David's a little weenie? Right? Why don't you go up to David and tell him, I think only wimps sing and play a harp. see what happens. Right? You won't even see it coming. Amen. And men sing. And women sing. We all ought to sing. We're created to sing. We're musical beings. God put us in it. Put it in us to praise His name. The Bible says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And we were created to put a smile on God's face. There's little that pleases me more than watching my kids when they're little walking around singing, or watching them the first time they grab their hymn book in church and try to sing. How cute is it? I bet it pleases God to hear us try to sing for Him. And you know what it does? It makes us stronger. Why? Because it strengthens the inner man. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what worship is? It's attitude help. Right? And when you have a good attitude, you're stronger, you're healthier, and you're more productive. Everybody knows that. Right? Attitude is everything. That's why Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, you can bench whatever you can bench. You can run however far that you can run. But if you're depressed, or you're anxious, or you're worried about life, or you don't have any drive because of what's going on in your mind and in your heart, none of that strength matters. Right? And it can't do anything. The joy of the Lord, having a good attitude about life, having a good attitude about God, having a good attitude about your spiritual prospects, having a good attitude about the future, that gives you energy and strength. Isn't that true?
Yes,
right? Don't you remember a time, some of you guys, we're all in our middle age here. We're all at about the same point. You know, we're all about to buy a Miata. You know? And remember when you used to jump out of bed excited for the day? Amen. I'll tell you, pour out your heart to God. Fill your heart with the joy of the Lord. You'll be strong again. Look what he says here. He says, 45, and sold their possessions and good and parted to all men as they had need. You know, the church is not only there for worship and for discipleship and for fellowship, but it's there for ministry. It's there to help someone else as they had need. You know, people in this church have needs. They sure do. They sure do. People in this church need to hear you sing. Amen. People in this church need to hear you pray. Amen. People in this church need to see a smile on your face. People in this church, sometimes they need to come into church and have someone say hi to them and look like they're happy to see them. You have no idea what a blessing that is to people. People need things. Jesus Christ said, I came not to minister, be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many, right? I am among you as he that serveth. That means that people have needs. People have emotional needs. People have spiritual needs. And the church can supply those things. And God will use you to minister to other people. And we've already talked about it. We talked about it last week, so we don't need to talk about it much. But the church exists for ministry, and everybody has a part in that. And everybody has a place. And people need encouragement, right? People need the Word of God. People need a lot of things, and the church can supply that. And in the church, there's different offices, and you can help in some of those areas. So the church is there to meet men's needs. Hey, if you're lost in here, the church is here to tell you the way of salvation, to tell you how you don't have to go to hell, how you can live in heaven with Jesus Christ for eternity. That's a need that you have, whether you know it or not. Amen. And there's other things. People need the Word of God. People need friends. Boy, we live in a world where people have, we're so connected, but we're completely unconnected. Right? And the only way that people know how to communicate is through emojis and through, yeah. You know what you can do with friends? You can learn how to actually use the English language. Amen. It's important. Some people, it's the only socialization they get. All right, now, so people have a lot of needs. And then, of course, he says this. He says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Of course, you know what the church exists for then. It exists for evangelism. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. The church is here to equip you. Now, if you've been coming to this church for any length of time, you ought to know enough scripture verses and enough Bible truth to be able to tell your coworkers about the Lord. To be able to tell your family about the Lord. To be able to tell people that you run into that start a conversation with you about the Lord. To tell people at the family reunion about the Lord. To go out and look, not only that, not only individually to witness, but also to forward God's work across the world. We ought to give to missions. We ought to give to foreign missions. We ought to get the gospel to people that have never heard. The church exists for that. And quite frankly, if the church doesn't do that, there's no real reason for it to exist. Amen. You got to have all these things. But Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And anytime in this church there's an opportunity in any way to get involved in getting the gospel to people that have never heard or people that have heard but still need it, you ought to jump on it. In fact, you ought to be excited for the opportunity. Yeah. And when we have a missionary coming through, you'd be like, yeah, all right. I get to spend my money on something important, something that's going to last for all of eternity. Amen. Maybe you might get to heaven and see someone up there that walks up to you and says, thank you. Thanks for giving to Brother Pizzo. Thanks for giving to Brother Rue. Thanks for giving to these guys. I'm in heaven because you sent a missionary to me. We exist for that. If we don't do that, we might as well close up and go home. Now I want you to go over here to Philippians. Look at Philippians. I just wanted to tell you about those things. That's what the church is for. And I want you to look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And I want to just say what church membership is. What church membership is, the way we view it. And Philippians chapter 2, the church is for all those things, and you ought to be a part of those things. So when you say, well, what is, when I decide to unite with the church, what is it? Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill me ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Paul says this. He says, hey, make me happy. He said, make me feel like I didn't put a bunch of work into you for nothing. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. He says, let everyone esteem others better than themselves. You know what joining a church is? It's a commitment to love the people of your church. That's what it is. Paul says this, owe no man anything but to love one another. That's an interesting twist of words, turn of words, isn't it? Turn of phrase, I guess you'd say. Owe no man anything, right? But you always owe it to love people, right? I owe it to you to love you, and you owe it to me to love me, and you owe it to your brothers and sisters to love them. It's a commitment to love one another. And oftentimes we only look at the churches doing things for us, but we owe it to each other to love one another. I owe it to you. You've got it coming. The Lord Jesus Christ loves the church, and he loves the church through me, and he loves the church through you. That's who he uses to care for his people. Paul said, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And we all struggle with that, especially in this society. The Bible says in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. And if that's the case, then the church is a great antidote to it. You know what's a good pill for loving yourself? Being part of an organization where you owe it to somebody else. I mean, as soon as I say owe it, I just felt it. It just go like this, like, wait a sec, I have an obligation? That's like asking me to sign up for family camp. I don't know if I can commit to that. You know, I'm just not sure what's going to be going on. Yes, you do. You know what's going on with your vacation, or you should. Right? You know what's going on with your work, or you should, right? You know what's going on with this commitment and that commitment. We ought to commit to the Lord's church. Amen. Amen. I owe it to you to love you. Jesus Christ says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Just got a few more verses to turn to. This is real brief this morning. I'll tell you what some of you, long before, you know, it happens all the time. People get into church, they got a 2 or 3 year lifespan, you know, and then they peel off. I'll tell you, long before that sin that knocks a person out of the will of God, right? We call that a sin of commission, commit. Long before that is a sin of omission. Right? There are things that God asks us to do. And long before people many times make that big mistake that they just can't walk back from, they've let go their commitments to the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, when we fill our lives with the love of God and with the work of God and with the worship of God, there's not a lot of room for getting in trouble. And if you're finding yourself in your life with plenty of time to do things that you shouldn't be doing, I guarantee there's some things that you quit doing. And if you were doing those things, you wouldn't have gotten in trouble in the first place. That's why they used to say an idle mind is the devil's workshop. The worst thing for a kid is to not be busy. Right? Doesn't take long at all. And I'll tell you, as a Christian, we ought to thank God that he gives us something to do and he gives us obligations. I'm telling you, people, they recoil at obligation. They can't handle the pressure of being obligated, but you're setting yourself up for getting into trouble. Right? David said this, teach us to number our days so that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Right? We need to order our steps in his word, and there's nothing wrong with having commitments to God's people and commitments to his church. Why? So we're not blown about by every wind of doctrine. A lot of times, you know why Simon Peter got in trouble? He got far from the Lord. You know why Thomas had struggled with faith? He wasn't there when the disciples got together. Right? And on and on and on. We ought to be where God wants us to be. Now I want you to look at this, Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 14. He says, and we looked at this last week, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Amen. The church is a good place to grow up. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That when you join a church, it's a commitment to love the people of church, and then it's a commitment to use your gifts for the Lord. Amen. That's what he says. Every joint supplieth. We've been pounding this, right? That God placed each of us in the body to minister to the body. We have gifts differing one from another. But when you are part of a church, you're recognizing that God is placing you in an organization that is also an organism. It's a living, breathing thing. And everybody has their part. And when someone's not doing their part, everybody else feels it. You know, someone was telling me that they said, the church kind of takes on your mood. No, they don't. I said, oh no, when you're up here happy, everyone's like, ha. And when you're up here kind of grumpy, everyone's like, what's going on? What's he upset about? You know? And so, and you know, the truth of that is that when I suffer, everybody suffers with me. And the same goes for you. Amen. We all affect each other. All affect each other. And when we're part of a church, we commit to saying, I have a place here. And I'm going to commit to finding what that thing is, and I'm going to do it for the Lord. I'm going to be a part here. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. All right. And look what he says here. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. You know, when you join a church, it's a commitment to support the church financially as the Lord leads. Right? I don't know who was just saying it the other day, but you know, talk's cheap, right? But it takes money to do things. It does. Even the Lord Jesus Christ talked about money. In fact, he talked about money more than almost anything else. Talked about money a lot. There's a lot of verses in the Bible about money. Over 1,000 verses in the Bible about money. And it's a commitment to do your part as the Lord hath blessed you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Has God blessed you? Okay, he's blessed one person here. Amen. All right. Well, at least we know one person is joining the church after the meeting. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Look what he says. As God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You know, God has not prospered everyone in here the same. Some people he's prospered more than others. Some of you he's prospered a lot. Some of you have done very well. Some of you not so much, but you give according to how he's prospered you. Which means if God's really blessed you financially, amen. You ought to bless him back, and you ought to bless missionaries back, and you ought to bless his church back. He didn't, listen, all he asks for is 10%, right? He doesn't ask for a lot. He just said, you know what he does? He gives us his air. He gives us his water. Right? He lets us live on this earth. I get to FaceTime my little grandbaby. Imagine if you were never born, you would never get to experience all these wonderful things of life. As hard as life can be, God created you for his pleasure, but you know what? It's also a blessing to you. I was up there at Glacier Lake just a couple days ago looking at that thinking, man, isn't this awesome? Look how beautiful that is. You know what the Lord charged me to look at that? Right? There was no box at the bottom of the trail. Every time I suck in his oxygen, he doesn't say that'll be 50 cents. Right? Every time I wake up in the morning, there's not a knock on the door saying, you know, you breathed for 7.5 hours last night and didn't even think about it. I kept you alive, okay? So you can swipe here. But you know how ungrateful people are? They don't even return just the most insignificant seeming thing compared to what he gives us. What is that? The Bible calls it filthy lucre. It's a medium of exchange. It's been rubbed by 1,000 hands, right? You put that dollar bill in your hand, who knows where it's been, you know? Adam Sabar Kabraki, you know? Who knows? Who knows where that thing's been, right? Right? Someone tips someone on a cruise ship. Thank you for the espresso, you know? All that stuff. Who knows where that thing's been? Who knows what's rubbed into that $1 bill? The Bible calls it filthy lucre, and it makes people do crazy, wicked things. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And the Lord says, you know what? Just give me a cut. Just give me a little cut. I gave you the energy to get that. I'll take 10%. You know what it is? It's as God hath prospered you. And if he hasn't prospered you a lot, then you don't have to give a lot. Amen? All right. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a commitment to do right with your money. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So it's a commitment to love the people of the church. It's a commitment to endeavor to use your gifts. It's a commitment to support this church financially. All right, then it's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and look at verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them verily highly in love. Now look what he says. For their what? Work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now listen. The Bible teaches servant leadership, right? A pastor isn't in that position because he's a different class of Christian. We're all the same class of Christian, right? But we have different jobs. We have different duties. I don't belong to a different type of Christian that God loves more than anyone else. Right? We're all His children and we're all servants. But the Bible says to esteem the minister highly in love. Why? For his sake? What's it say? For whose sake? For the work's sake. For the work's sake. Why? Because it's an important job. It's an important job. You know? You know what you don't do to that surgeon right before he works on you? You know, he comes in to visit you, you're laying in the bed. Well, the nurses are about to put you out. You know, it should be about 2 hours, you know. Here, lift your shirt. He gets his marker out. We're going to make a cut here. We're going to make a cut here. We're going to make a cut here. You know what you're looking at that surgeon? You're thinking, I hope he didn't drink today. I hope he didn't just get in a fight with his wife. I hope he's getting along with the nurses, right? I hope he remembered his glasses, right? I hope he got good sleep last night, right? And if he shakes your hand, that's not the time that you try to prove who's got the stronger grip. Stinking doctor, you make so much money. I grew up in the woods. I'm a real man. That was real smart. Right? No, you know what you do? That guy, listen, that guy might be a Democrat. You don't care. Right? That guy might run around on his wife. You don't care. The guy might be a drunk. You don't care. Right? That guy might be part of PETA. He might donate to people for the ethical treatment of animals. He might be the worst thing that we can think of living in Kalispell. But in that moment, you know why you esteem him highly? Because he's about to cut you open and work on you. And you think, whoever he is as a person, his job is very important. Right? So we esteem the office. Why? Because the office ministers the word of God and we value the word of God. Right? And so we try to take care of the person in that office. Right? We try to support and follow the person in that office and be at peace. Right? We try to not make the pastor someone who has to go around and settle personal disputes because you're angry at someone. He says, be at peace among yourselves. Why? Because spiritual leaders have an important job. Right? Paul says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Right? When this word of God comes out, it's doing a spiritual work in you that builds you up and gets you ready for the greatest day in your life is when you will stand face to face with Jesus Christ and give an account for how you live the Christian life. And my job is to prepare you for that. So you might not like me, but that's an important job. Does that make sense? Right? You esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, right? So, amen. Well, I could keep going on that. Some people think that God has called them to give the leadership of the church a hard time. I remember one time I drive this old cruddy Ford that was always broken down. I drive it into the parking lot. I put a plow on it in the winter so I could plow the church parking lot. The plow was like 40 years old. It was so heavy with that old thick steel. You know, you mount it on the truck and like the whole thing lurched forward. You know, I'd put a bunch of more weight in the back just to keep it level with the plow. And I drove that cruddy old plow into the church and I got out and there was a guy there and he's like, I like that. It's good to see a pastor drive a crappy old truck. And I don't really care. You've seen some of my vehicles, okay? I don't care. I never have. I'm not that person, right? I have other problems. That's not one of them. But I just looked at the guy and I'm like, really? Really? That's what you want for your pastor? You want your pastor to crawl under that thing every week and try to keep it running just so he stays humble? That's your attitude toward the ministry? You think he doesn't have anything more important to do than drive around a piece of junk? You know, be on his way to a hospital visit, the thing break down, he's out on the highway like this. Hey, gotta get, someone's dying, you know? Right? It's an important job. So a person should be able to do their job. You know what that is? That's just a stinking backwoods cracker who resents anybody, I'm sorry, but it's true, in any position of authority, and he thinks it's his job to make that person humble. Let me tell you who makes me humble. God, and he does a way better job than anybody in here. He has knocked me down so far. I talked to Rick DeMichael on the phone about 5 years ago after this last thing, and I said, good night, preacher. How many more things does God have to do to me to humble me? This one's awful. You know? Don't worry. And I, by the way, it ain't my job to humble you. It ain't my job to humiliate you, make you feel bad about yourself. The Lord can take care of that stuff. That's not my, I'm not God. You know what our job is to do? Edify one another. Build each other up. Encourage each other. Say, man, you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are, and you're driving now. Look at that. Amen. Good job. Great job being here today. Thanks for helping out. Thanks, Brother Aaron, for going up there. I'm sure you had a million. I mean, I don't even think you went to bed after work. You had a night shift, and you're up there with your little chainsaw buzzing away so that we can waddle up that trail on Monday. What a blessing. Good job. We don't, you know, I think sometimes we think we're God. We're like, you know what that person's problem is? They're vain. I'm going to tell them they're ugly. I mean, I'm just worried about them. I think they're getting too vain. I think I'm going to tell them, you arrogant jerk. It's not your job. Your job is to encourage and be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. Amen. 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 Try to, hey, but listen, we got enough against us. Right? Anyways. Yeah, there's more there, but there's a lot of meat on that bone. Now look what he says here in Ephesians chapter 4. So you know what we ought to do? We ought to say, hey, look. We ought to look at the preacher, but we ought to look at everybody in here. And if the Lord gives us the opportunity to help that person become successful for Christ, we ought to help them.
Amen.
How can I help you in your ministry? What can I do for you? How can we make you more efficient here? Is there anything that you need? And sometimes, you know what it is? It's just this. Man, that's really good coffee, Brother Dave. Miss Mandy, thank you.
Yes.
Amen. I tell you what I'm going to do next Sunday, just to be thankful. When I spill the creamer all over the coffee stand, I'm going to clean it up like I'm an actual human being with manners.
Amen.
Just to show my appreciation. Right? So that people will think we're civilized.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How can I? That wasn't right. All right. Amen. A little bit of, hey, listen, just a little bit of looking around, seeing how can I be a blessing. It goes a long way. Amen. And we all ought to work on that. Me and you. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Hey. Do you hate it at home when someone uses the last of the toilet paper roll and doesn't replace it?
Amen.
And then you have to shout from the bathroom, hey! Right? Everybody's had to do the echoing shout. Hip, hip, hip! Right? The muffled toilet paper yell, right? If you empty the... Is that not the polite thing to do? Amen. So look, at your church, if you see something that needs to be done, just do it. Amen. This is your home. Amen. Amen. I don't know why I said that. Ephesians chapter 4. Now look what he says. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We got to put up with each other sometimes. Every one of us has got attributes that are annoying. But look what he says, endeavoring. What a great word. Isn't that a great word? Endeavor. Endeavor. You know what he doesn't say? He doesn't say trying to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You know what trying means? You know what trying means? Hey, come to the youth activity. I'll try. Right? Hey, have a good attitude. I'm trying. Yeah. I like Endeavor a lot better. That was Ernest Shackleton. That was the name of his ship. that ship that went to south to the South Pole for to try to make it to the South Pole, and they got stuck in the ice, right? And those guys were down there for over a year, stuck in the ice, and didn't lose a man. That's Ernest Shackleton. The name of his boat was Endeavor. To boldly go where no man has gone before. What's that? That's Enterprise. What a great word, right? And that's what your Bible uses. It uses a big word, right? We're going to endeavor to establish a new colony in the new world. We will buy land for a pocket full of beads. Right? It's a big task. It's a big goal. Right? You know what Keaton's doing right now? He's endeavoring. Look at this kid. He's probably lost 30 pounds. You know, he stood in the office door the other day. He could have fit three of them in the office door. He's running marathons. Amen. Stinking ran a marathon. When?
Last week and next month.
Yeah, last week. 26.2 miles. I ran out to my truck this morning, and I thought I did. I was about to call Blair. Need some nitroglycerin. This kid's running 26 miles. You know what that is? That's a big goal. You know, for some of us, an endeavor would be half a mile. Amen. That'd be a big goal, like a mountain. But you know what that is? You know what endeavor is? It's a worthy goal, something worthy of our effort. You know, Shackleton named it Endeavor because they were going to the end of the earth. That was something. They were going to see things no one had ever seen before. And when he talks about unity in the church, he uses the word endeavor because it's a noble goal. It's something worthy of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because when we're unified, we're a lot more efficient. We glorify him. It's honoring to him. It's something that God blesses. When this church is going every which direction, right, and we're not working together as a body, we don't get anything done for him. We need to be together. And that it is a worthy goal to be together. It's important to want to get along with God's people. Yeah. Right? It's important to say, oh, this is the focus of our church. This is what we love. That's what I'm going to be a part of. And that's what I'm going to pray for. And that's what I'm going to strive for. And if I can't do it, I'll go somewhere where I can. But God wants everyone in the church that they're in to work hard at being unified. Amen? Endeavor. Endeavor. So what's membership? It's a commitment to keep unity. Amen. That's a worthy goal. Be of the same mind, one to another. I love the church. I do. The church has blessed me so much. I got saved at church. I got saved at Sunday school when I was 5 years old. Mrs. Eastwood was teaching. I remember Mrs. Eastwood because her daughter was my first girlfriend at 5 years old. Her name was Divina. She was divine, you know. You ever know any of those kids whose name does not fit their personality, you know? You ever have a friend named Chastity, you know? Our neighbor was named Chastity, right? And she was anything but, right? I mean, the whole sailor vocabulary we learned from Chastity, right? But Divina, I think, I don't remember because we were four, but she's my first love. And sorry, Blair. Is Blair in here? I don't want her to be jealous. But I told you that before we got married, okay? All right? We're not talking about things before. But Mrs. Eastwood, I was in class and I was 5, 6 years old. She said, she's talking about going to heaven, and she's talking about sins. And she read me that little wordless book, My Heart Was Black as Sin, but still the Savior came in. His precious blood I know has washed me white as snow. And in God's word I'm told, I'll walk the streets of gold. What a wonderful day, wash my sins away. And I trusted Jesus Christ. I said, I want to get saved. She said, okay, do you want to pray in private? Yeah, we went behind the puppet show. It was painted red and white, and I knelt down behind the puppet show, and I asked Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. I got saved at church. I got baptized at church. I got called to preach at church. The church has been a great place for me. You know what church has done for me? I've met every one of you at church.
Amen.
For the most part. Right? The church has given me you. I mean, I've been around here. Some of you, I don't even know. I don't even know what, I don't know what my life would be if I didn't know you. I don't think I could ever leave here. I've known some of you for 8 years now. That's half of my adult life. Not quite. That would mean I turn an adult at 30. No, that's about right. That's about right. Love the church. I love it. Thank God for the church. Take advantage of what the church can be to you and your family.